talk about management skills. What are skills? Skills are doable actions. Skills are doable actions, meaning skills are needed for you to perform your job effectively and efficiently. Skills are needed to do your job efficiently and effectively. Now, what are these skills? I know the subject organization behavior. It's information, it's knowledge. So I read the subject organization behavior in and out. Several books, I go to Google, I read and read and read. I know OB, and so I can deal with people. Can I say that? On one side is theoretical inputs or information. On the other side is action. So skills are nothing but, you can write it down, information or knowledge plus repeated actions gives you skill. Information or knowledge plus repeated actions gives you skills. What does it mean? It simply means that if I have read A to Z about OB from different sources, it doesn't make me have skills of dealing with people and their behaviors. No way. I've got to go meet people, test my knowledge or information into actual action. And when I'm testing people, my behavior, my theory into actual action, all of you will agree, there'll come some roadblocks. There'll be some issues. At times I may click, at times I may not click. This is a journey. Skills building is a journey in which you start becoming more and more competent. Underline the word competent. More and more skillful. So if I do it for the first time, it's like riding a cycle. I sit on the bicycle and the first time I'm trying to pedal, I'll fall down. I've got two choices. Quit cycling or stay and learn it better. Obviously, you don't do the first one, you do the second one. So what do? You sit on the bike again and then start cycling. And then suddenly things start happening. You fell down in the first instant, second instant you find yourself going ahead. Again you may fall. So repeated practice, repeated actions on a certain theory or an information or a knowledge is what gives you skills. And skills are very important. There's an expression in management which we say, skills sell, facts tell. Skills sell, facts tell. What's a fact? That you are an MBA. Skills is what, after doing MBA, have you put it into action in real life? This is one thing I notice about many students. You know, they do a very good course, within the best of the B schools, and when they come out, they are struggling to get jobs because, you know, they have not personally developed these skills into action. You're listening to this whole lecture on OB. You'll be listening to many more from my side as the chapters flow. Are you putting them into action is my question to all of you. If you put these into action, then you'll start getting into a type of a rigor, a type of a action which will be challenging. But keep going, keep going, keep going, and you'll find that you are in the path of what is called as competence. Means what? I'm giving you a talk right now. This particular video shoot I had done ages ago, and that video shoot, first time when I did, I was floundering. Let me confess, we are human beings. First time when you do something, you're floundering. But as you keep on doing it again and again and again and again, what happens? You start developing the dexterity, the competence, the ease with which you can talk. So, skills are very important. And skills is an endless process. Skills building is an endless process. Today, what I'm talking has got a certain flavor of competency from my side. What I'll be doing maybe 1 or 2 months down the line may be different. It has to be superior to what I'm doing today. Thereby, whatever I have to communicate to you, it gets communicated in the shortest possible time with the optimum resources. I'll repeat. When I am skilled or when I am competent, I will find myself delivering something to you in the form of results, in the form of output, with the shortest possible time or the optimum time with the optimum resources. What do companies want from you and me? They want us to become skillful. A work is given to you. You have spent about 1 month as a new employee. After 1 month, if your efficiency is still low, either it's a bad recruit, that means you have been selected wrongly, or you are not willing to develop skills. Because our efficiency and expertise and our effectiveness has to keep improving as we grow in the organization. It's those things we are talking about as managerial skills. By the way, don't be under the wrong impression that manager is a position. Manager is a set of functions or processes which. So by this definition, anybody is a manager. So don't ever think that I have not become a manager. That designation is different from what we are talking about here. Manager is anyone who is fulfilling a certain preset goals using all the resources. He is doing his work with his hands and head. Then he's a manager. It can be the peon in the office. It could be the person who's giving you tea every day from the pantry. He is also a manager. So don't be under the impression that formal dressing like mine with a jacket and all these things is a manager. No, this is not the only manager. Managers are all around us. You go to the vegetable market, you'll find a manager there. The lady who's selling vegetables or fish or whatever. So I want all of us to understand that managerial skills is about learning to run an organization efficiently. So there are three skills we talk about in this particular module, in this PPT. Technical skills. You are in the company because you have a domain or an expertise skills. A chartered accountant's domain skills is his accounting fundas. I'm a mechanical engineer, so my domain skills is all about mechanical engineering. I have had a production background, so production expertise. So I have that acquired that skill, acquired that knowledge, and I have that experience in the earlier companies, so I'm getting inducted into the company. So I'm getting inducted primarily for a job which requires my domain skill. So this is an important managerial skill everybody needs to have as a starter. Now I'm not working in isolation as an engineer. I'm working with CAs. I'm working with HR people. I'm working with quality control people. All these people are also with me. So I need to develop another skill called human skills. A very crucial critical skills on which the whole subject of OB is based. It's people skills to get along with each other effectively and harmoniously. Now that is a challenge for many people. I am a domain expert in engineering, production, topper, and I have to interact with someone from the accounts department. A clerical person, let's say, for clearing my voucher. So when I go there, am I really using my people skills to be effective in the job that I want to do and being harmonious? Check out. We go with pretensions. We go with assumptions. We go with certain things. We take certain things for granted. So human skills is a skill, that particular finesse, that particular type of a method with which you are able to get things done with people harmoniously as well. Now this is a very challenging thing for many people I've seen. So human skills is very important skill in a managerial skills, this format of three. Next comes conceptual skills. This is a skill that one needs to develop as one grows in an organization. It's about seeing the larger picture. I, as a marketing person in the company where I was working, I rose up to become the marketing head. So everything and anything about marketing you ask me, I'm good in that. But suppose you ask me what sort of a company's financial health is, or about some part of HR, I may give peripheral answers only, or I may not even know it. This happens with experts. So if I want to grow higher in the organization, if I want to spread my wings, I need to take senior functions, then I need to develop what are called as conceptual skills. Seeing the broader picture of the whole organization. And when people are rising up the organizations in very good companies, they send them for what are called as cross functional training. So if I am a marketing person, I am sent for a training to finance. So to know what, how the finance impacts the business. So I may not know finance right down to the book of accounts, but I know exactly how this finance is impacting marketing, how marketing is impacting HR, etc. So this conceptual skill is important. It is the ability to draw a macro, larger and a comprehensive view of the organization. So these three skills are an important part of the managerial skills. Let's go to the next one. Interpersonal role. Now we talk about managerial roles. What's a role? Now I am standing in front of you and talking to you. This is a role I'm playing, the role of a faculty. A role is like a, like we have films, we got dramas, people play a role. So I'm wearing this particular garb, this jacket, I'm having this pointer in my hand, and I'm addressing the thing. So this is a role I'm playing. To attain a goal effectively, please make a note, to attain a goal effectively, we need to know our roles well. I need to know what is my role. How should I present myself? How should I talk to you? How should I make it simple for the person who's not learnt very high funda English? How to see that the concepts go to you very clearly? This is a role which I constantly have to strive to play the role. It's not a one-time affair, it's a dynamic thing. So these managerial roles are what we are discussing right now. So in an organization, there are managerial roles. Again, let me repeat, managerial is not about manager as a designation. It's about anybody and everybody who is using resources to achieve goals. So one role which everybody learns is interpersonal roles. Interpersonal means you and me, two people. In these roles, there is a role called a figurehead role. The role of ensuring overall smooth functioning of a unit, department, division or organization. Overall smooth functioning. So there is a person at the top of the organization. He may be a retired patriarch of the whole business. He may be right up there and he ensures that everything is taken care of. He just overlooks the whole thing. This position, he has come up through the ranks of figurehead. He may be there for signing important documents, for memorandum of understanding and all those stuff. A figurehead, that is one interpersonal role. Second role is one of a leader. As the name indicates, he is a person who coordinates, influences and takes people along. This is another role which one needs to play. Third is a liaison. The role of coordinating, motivating, communicating with people, being in touch with XYZ, being a person who becomes a bridge between people, among people. Next, information and roles. Informational roles have to do with information. What is an organization? An organization is a big tank of information, of different types of information. What we call it today as MIS, Management Information Systems. So there are information roles which we have to play. There's a role called a monitor. This monitor is a role of scanning environment, overseeing subordinates, peers and superiors, and to collect verbal information. A monitor is going around meeting people, scanning the environment, he's sensing, he's got sensing skills. Monitoring role, information, to understand information, what's going on in the company, which group of people are doing something which is not in line with the company's interests, informal. So it's about scanning the environment, underline the word scanning, it's about trying to see what's going on, scanning the place. Next is a disseminator. Disseminator means passing on collected information to those who need it and who do not have access to it. This is another role. Today we are working in open cultures in many organizations thanks to globalization. So in an open culture, when I am having a subordinate below me, he or she needs some information. It's my duty, my role to disseminate the information, to pass on the information because that is needed for him or her to do the job. And he doesn't have direct access. So he or she comes and asks me. I need to give it to them. If I don't give it and use my so-called position of power, what happens to my role? Because his role is related to my role, so I better give it. Now this is something which certain managers don't seem to be understanding. They do the power play by default. Giving away information is a very important part of today's global working. So dissemination is a very important role. Next comes spokesman. As the name indicates, he is a person who's an information source and an information center for insiders and outsiders of the company. You must have heard the word public relations, PR. The PR is a spokesman of the organization to the world outside. So that is one role, again, the manager needs to understand about himself. Then we talk about the third role called the decisional roles. As the name indicates, what's a decision? A decision is nothing but it's a course of action I need to take based on multiple alternatives. I have multiple choices, multiple options. So I need to decide. I've got option A, option B, option C, option D. So I have to decide whether to take A, B, C or D. Now these decisional roles are pretty challenging for people. The one role which you have to play is entrepreneur role. Entrepreneur is a businessman, a person who is a self-starter, and he's a person who brings about changes. He's a person who is setting up an idea into an action, into a business, an entrepreneur. It's a role of adapting to the changing environment factors through taking crucial and critical decisions. He's a daring guy. He takes decisions, seeking new ideas and projects involving risk. That's one of the decisional roles which we need to understand about ourselves. Next comes the disturbance handler. Very important in today's world. Today we are moving at a very fast pace. And since we are going at a fast pace, you will all agree that understanding each other, we don't have time to know each other. So by default, more than design, there's a likelihood that there's a group of people or certain people, they get into some trouble with each other. And that may affect the customer who's outside. The sales department is selling some products and the service department which is servicing the products is having a problem with the sales department. So there's a disturbance within the organization. There's a disruption going on. Now this disruption is affecting the customer from outside who's coming to get a service done. So there has to be a role which the manager needs to play, which is about handling disturbances. He has to bring them together, have a dialogue, negotiate and see that they, the internal customers as well as the external customers, both do not get affected. Things are going on smooth. See, now you'll know why I talked about managing people, not controlling people. Everybody has got an important role to play in an organization. Sales is as important as service. Service is as important as HR. Everybody is important. And each one of us is coming from different background. But we are playing a role in the organization. So the disturbance handler has to ensure that people are brought together despite their differences. Those of you who are grown up, those of you are matured in age and experience, you will agree that what appears to be a difference of opinion today when you're young, with the same person after some years, you find it is no more a conflict. You start understanding each other better. I always say this to my trainees for whom I do corporate training. I tell them, look, when you have a conflict with someone, stay on and try to understand each other. It may take some time, but in that process, some magic takes place. Human behavior is highly magical. And suddenly you'll find that what I thought about him or her is totally different. But for that, you need to stay. We find people running away from conflicts. It's very strange. It's very sad. And then they form opinions, they form their groups, and then one group versus two groups, other group, they start quarreling and getting into disturbances and disrupting the whole organization. Stay on. Now, there needs to be a role of disturbance handler by someone. Some of us have got what is called as an emotional intelligence to handle this. To handle disturbances, one needs to have a maturity which comes through experience, which comes through a certain background. Right? Next, we talk about resource allocator. One of the decision roles is to allocate resources to inputs that are needed to start or conclude a task or a project. So that's a decision. I'll give you this much amount of money, but I'll not give you this particular machine. I'll give you this machine, but I can give you only a limited amount of money. This is a decision of allocating resources. Next comes negotiator, which is related to the earlier one. Role of bargaining and negotiating with people at all levels both within and outside the organization. What do you mean by negotiating? I want something, I want 10 units of something, but you're offering me only 6. If I don't get 10, I won't be able to complete my job. And you say that I can give you only 6. So between the two of us, between 6 and 10, we have to arrive at some sort of a trade-off, wherein you say, fine, 6 or 10, so something in between 8, take 6 right now, after about a few days, I'll give you the remaining 4. Or, I think you don't need 10, somebody tells me, now try doing it with 6, you can do it better. Managers tell you this many times. So this negotiation will make the persons getting into what is called as a win-win situation. That's very important, right? Now we come to the next part of the discussion, which is called as study of human behavior. We are coming to the crux of the matter right now. Understanding human behavior is a very big aspect of life. Throughout your life, till the age of 60, 70, 80, you can still study about human behavior, yet you'll know only this bit of it. I've been a trainer for the last about more than 24, 25 years in the area of human behavior. Let me confess, I know only so much. Because the more and more you try to understand behavior, the more complexities you unravel. I'm not frightening you. I just want to understand that studying human behavior requires certain amount of understanding about yourself, your mind, your brain. So what is it? It's a study of human brain and mind. Brain is here, physical, and mind is somewhere in between, somewhere inside you. So people behave similarly or dissimilar to each other based on many complex factors. This is very important. Factors are too very complex. I'm good to you. You're supposed to be good to me. Yes or no? Yes. That's what we all feel. The law of give and take. I'm good to you, but you may not be good to me. I'm constantly good to you, but you may not be good to me. Does it happen or not? Now this is very complex. And you start wondering, why? What am I doing wrong? And then you get into self-talk. So it is quite complex. And then people give up. They say, nahi. There are ways and means of understanding why this happens. Through training. Through self-introspection. Now two most influencing factors are the brain and the mind. The brain and the mind. The brain governs. It's an organ that governs intellectual and emotional abilities. We have made it very simple in the slide. Two things we are talking about, intellectual and emotional abilities. Intellectual means thinking process. Left brain as we call it. Emotional means right brain, which is all to do with the human emotions and feelings. So the human brain produces a thinking and an emotion which affects your behavior. Why does it happen? Because of the way you choose to behave. You choose to think and you choose to get into the feeling. I'm staring at you, you're a stranger to me, okay? I'm staring at you and you're a stranger. Now you can choose to say that he is horrible and then feel bad. Or you can choose to say that, well, let me check out why he's staring at me. And then maybe feel little calm and approach me and talk to me. This is a typical scenario which we come across many times. So the brain governs intellectual and emotional abilities. The mind, what's a mind? It's a manifestation of thought, abstract, perception, abstract, emotion, further abstract, determination and imagination. The mind is, it's got spiritual connotation, it's got many things. What does the mind, what does the mind do? It languages. Whatever inputs you take, it interprets it is its way. My video lecture is going on, you're listening to me. There'll be two of you sitting in the same room and listening to me. One person's mind will think about my lecture as XYZ. Next to him is sitting another person, he or she will think something else, PQR. So the same reality outside, different minds interpret it differently. Through the manifestation of thoughts, perceptions, emotions, etc. Some points are given in the slide. So there are two things. One is an organ that actually does the processing of whatever your mind is into. So these two things are the ones in this discussion which are the focus. There are many other things. We cannot compact everything into the book. So we have just talked about two things. The mind, the brain and the mind. These two are the ones that are instrumental for people with dissimilar or similar behaviors. Two brothers in the same family, let's call them twins. Two twins in the same family, we may feel that they will have similar tastes, similar distastes, but they need not be, because every individual is unique. The challenging part of human behavior is every individual is unique, friends. And this uniqueness you do not understand till you reach an obstacle with the person. Till you have a difference of opinion, you don't understand this is he is unique. And that uniqueness we don't want to accept in human interaction. That's a sad part of people. Every one of us is different. Twins born just few minutes apart are different from each other. They're different, they look identical, they may dress identical, they may go to the same swimming pool, they may work in the same office, but yet they are different. Now this aspect has to be understood by us to know human behavior. So this slide is talking about human brain and mind as a purpose, the reason why we may be similar to each other or we may be dissimilar to each other. Similarities and dissimilarities. People may be similar or dissimilar with each other in the following aspects. Physical features, height, weight, body structure, facial dimensions, etc. So the physical features may be same or they may be different. Psychological factors to do with the mind, like attitudes, values, opinions, perceptions. Okay, these may be same or they may be different. So physical factors, psychological factors, social factors. Social means what? I am a social animal. Man is a social animal. We mix with people. Social means we are mixing with others. When there is a other person other than me, when I'm alone, there is no social. But when somebody else is there, it becomes social. So we get affected by the person and the person affects us both ways. So social factors. Am I active? Am I shy? Am I interactive? Am I angry with the person? So all these things, the way I language the other person is another thing that comes into the picture. Human resources like skills, knowledge, abilities, beliefs, values, etc. These are all things that are there in you. Human resources. Human resources, you human, within you these resources. My skills, my knowledge, my abilities, my beliefs, my values, they are also the contributory factors to ensure whether I am similar to you or not similar to you. So physical, psychological, social, human resources. Now dissimilarities in individuals, let's try and discuss. Though many people have similarities, they may still behave differently in different situations, organizations and societal setups. We all know it. Both of us like the same actor. Both of us like the same actor into action. We go for the film together. But suddenly something happens. In this film, I don't like this actor. I tell this to my friend. And he wonders, "Are, how come you said that?" I said, "I don't like him." Now, this is something he can't understand because I'm unique. Again, I'm coming back to that. That's not mentioned in the slide. We are all unique. Because we are unique, dissimilarities come. We don't see the dissimilarities till something goes wrong, inverted commas wrong. Actually, nothing goes wrong. We think it is wrong because we are expecting that person to be like us. Don't you all agree that we want everybody to be like us? Life is very boring actually, if you make it that way. Right? So, if I want everybody to be like me, then there is a similarity. Then there is harmony. But we are not working like islands now. We are not commandos. I mean, we are not alone. We are interdependent with the society. I cannot stitch my jacket. I cannot make my glasses. So for this I need an optician. I need a tailor. So I am dependent on the society. Since I am dependent on the society, I would like to go to the tailor and feel that the tailor should like the same movie which I like. He must eat the same ice cream which I eat. It's a foolishness of people. He must, if I go to the optician, he must also do the same thing. So we want people who are like us. If people are like us, we like to gather around them. Informal groups. Dissimilarities is when I realize that he is different. When he says something which is totally different from what I say or I feel, I don't like it. This is very natural for people who are untrained into behavior. If you're trained into behavior, you'll pause and say, yes, he is different, I'm different. That's the maturity to which you need to go by learning human behavior. Next. Heredity factors. It's in your genes, in your DNA, your anatomical, your body, physiological factors like age, height, weight, skin color. These are some of the things with which you're endowed, which you made, which has happened to you in your life. And this could be the factors which could be bringing about similarities or dissimilarities. Psychological factors like perception, learning, leadership, motivation, attitudes, values, emotions, etc. Environmental factors. The outside world impacts my behavior. If I'm going in a place which is full of negative energy, it affects me. Somewhere I tend to become negative. Underline the word tend. Tend means there's a likelihood that I may go towards being negative. But it need not be always. I could be in a negative environment. I can still be positive because that's my choice. My behavior, my friends, is my choice. This takes time for many of you to understand. People say, he was abusing me. He did this, he did that. It's but natural that I have to react. It's but natural that I hit him back. And then you feel upset, you lose your sleep, and you go through lots of health issues. It goes on for years together, so much of hatred. What does it do to you? I'm not pontificating, I'm not trying to say that life should be peaceful, everybody should be happy with each other, regardless of this. No, I'm just suggesting that let's learn to manage each other's differences. Let's learn to manage each other's differences. That's very important. Right? Socio-cultural, environmental factors means outside factors such as climate change, mood out ho jata hai. Demographics, the population, I live in a densely populated place, it affects my behavior. I live in a sparsely populated place, people are spread out, it affects my behavior. Socio-cultural factors, society and culture, family. The family has got one way of thinking. Certain common habits, certain common do's and don'ts, certain rules and regulations within every family. That's socio-cultural impact on your behavior. Neighborhood. While there's a family, the flat in which you live in a neighborhood, in the building of the society or that area where you live, your bungalow is. That neighborhood also impacts you. Does it not? In some neighborhoods, you can feel free to talk to anybody. In some other neighborhoods, you have to manage your behavior that you don't get spontaneous with people because they don't like it. So neighborhood impacts your behavior. Institutions, the organization to which you work, that impacts your behavior. Workplace. Institutions can be the religious institution to which you belong, the temple, the church, the mosque or the gurdwara, whichever religion you belong to, that impacts you. Or the bodies to which you are attached. You know, Rotaract and different clubs are there. So those way of thinking also impacts you. Social groups, the groups to which you belong. A musical group may be there. A group that goes for trekking. Those impact you. Next comes economic factors. Economic factors are the ones which have to do with the status of your level in society. In terms of money, in terms of acquisitions. That impacts you. Now we talk about situational factors that occur within organization. Situation, as the name indicates, is all about situation, that is a time-dependent event. Time-dependent event is a situation. A situation is cropped up, that situation affects me now. That could be something like in my interaction with supervisors, individual training that I've received. If I've received a training, then I may be having a different type of an outlook in my behavior. The type of incentive that I have received. social and cultural environment of the workplace, method and conditions of work, physical work environment, etc. Some of the situational factors that impact our behavior, either making us similar to people or not making us similar to people.